Hello and welcome to the podcast edition of Ron Kaplan's Baseball Bookshelf, your source for news, reviews, previews, and interviews with authors and artists about baseball books, music, film, pretty much anything you can fit on a bookshelf. And that's the slogan, if it fits on a bookshelf, it fits here. As Humphrey Bogart famously said, a hot dog at the ballpark is better than steak at the Ritz. Certainly one of the most important off-field enticements these days is the food. So when teams design their new homes, they make sure there are plenty of places to get a bite to eat that offer more than just a frank, box of popcorn, ice cream, and a drink. Bennett Jacobstein considers this in a fun new book, The Joy of Ballpark Food, From Hot Dogs to Haute Cuisine. He visited each of the 30 major league venues to sample the best each had to offer, as well as the specialties of the house that often incorporate the indigenous cuisine. The book, which includes photographs taken by the author's wife, Deborah, includes the history of the topic. You would think things have come a long way food-wise, but one of the charming chapters features several menus from back in the day, showing numerous choices, and dig those prices. One nice note, all proceeds from the sale of the book will be donated to a local food bank. Learn all about it at the book's website, ballparkfood.org.
Bennett Jacobstein, welcome to the Baseball Bookshelf.
Well, thank you very much. I'm glad to be here.
Well, congratulations on this book, The Joy of Ballpark Food. It looks like this is a fun project to do.
Yes, it was extremely fun, although when I told people, about the project and going to all 30 stadiums, they're excited about all the baseball you got to see. But by the time we got there when the gates opened and then went to every single food booth, did our work, it was usually the seventh inning, so I never really got to see much baseball, but had a great time seeing the stadium.
I was going to ask you, do you do so much, so much research? I mean, it's a hands-on research at all these venues that you don't really have time to actually sit and watch and enjoy the game.
Right, I know. So I probably maybe saw an average of one inning at every game we went to. But it was still a very fun experience being all the different stadiums.
When did you start this project?
I first came up with the idea probably September, not last September, but the one before, September of 2013. And then I took a trip to the Hall of Fame Library in Cooperstown and did a lot of research there on the history. And I was not planning to visit the stadiums, but when I started to do research, I realized there's really no way to really capture what's going on. So then I added on to the book, going to 30 different stadiums. And again, our first one was in April, and our last one was in September.
So you did all this in the space of one season?
Right, right, all in one season, yeah.
And you did this with your wife, Deborah, who took the pictures that appear in the book?
Right, right.
And did you eat all of this stuff that you write about?
No, actually, what we did is when we went in a stadium, we go to every single booth and kind of document what was there. And then we picked five items to purchase, and we picked one sort of regional or specialty hot dog, and then we picked four other things that were either being regional or unique, something like Rocky Mountain oysters in Colorado. We picked that. And so between my wife and I, we at least tasted them. I wouldn't say that I ate everything.
Did you consult a physician before you started this?
No. But it's also after, a while, if you're sort of, you're working so hard, the food would be more enjoyable, I think, if I was at a game having fun than actually working there.
So did you do this with the blessings of the ballparks, or you just totally did this on your own?
That's an interesting story. I attempted to sort of get the permission of Major League Baseball, and it was kind of a bureaucracy. And I wound up deciding that I was told that if I don't take pictures of the logos, but just take pictures of the products, that it's fair use journalistic. So it was not done with, they're fine with it, but it was not something that was part of them.
Is that an official book of Major League Baseball by any means?
Right, right.
So let me ask you this. Where did you find the time to do this? I mean, are you retired? Are you independently wealthy? How did you find time to travel to 30 ballparks to sample all the fairs?
Okay, well, I am retired. I'm a retired librarian. But I've also worked during the baseball season. I've worked for 3 years in the concession stand for the San Jose Giants minor league team. And that's sort of where I kind of just gave this kind of love of ballpark food. So not only did I do the 30 stadiums during the summer, but I made sure as much as possible I did it when the San Jose Giants were on the road, so I wouldn't miss working in the concession stand there. So it's a strange passion I have.
That must have taken an awful lot of planning.
It did. It was kind of, you know, and then you're trying to get when the Cubs are finishing one series and the White Sox the next day, and are the Brewers going to be there? And so it's kind of trying to get things kind of in clusters. And then it wound up with one strange quick trip to Toronto and Washington, D.C. to kind of that nothing else fit in.
Now we're getting the specifics. So out of all the things you've sampled, was there one thing that was absolutely your favorite?
My favorite, let's see. There was probably, this is kind of strange, but probably boiled peanuts. I never had that before. And I believe they were at Tampa Bay. And I don't know, have you ever had a boiled peanut?
I have not, no.
But they're boiled in the whole shell.
Uh-huh.
And then you sort of bite into it, and this huge blast of salt hits you. And then they taste kind of sort of soft, kind of like a chestnut. Those were interesting. And I also, Ivers is one of my favorite restaurants in Seattle, and they had a place there that had a real nice fish sandwich. And I love deli, and the pastrami sandwich at Citi Field in New York was as good as Second Avenue Deli or other delis I've been to in New York. So that might have been my favorite. I can tell you what my least favorite was
I
tasted. Rocky Mountain oysters.
Okay, just by which are?
Our bull testicles.
Oh, okay.
And I generally figured anything French fried's got to taste okay. But but when I took the bite of that, there was also interesting combinations. There's a famous sandwich place in Pittsburgh called Primanti Brothers. And on their sandwiches, they put the meat and the French fries and the coleslaw all sort of together on one roll. And it was invented at a truck stop a long time ago so that truckers could eat their whole meal sort of with one hand. And,
Seems like a very effective way to do things.
Right, right.
Now, you mentioned the pastrami sandwich. A lot of ballparks, I think, are coming up with ways to incorporate different ethnic groups.
Right.
So I noticed in the book that you single out a few ballparks that actually serve kosher fare.
Right.
Is this something that is, I mean, obviously New York is going to have a large Jewish population. Boston is going to have a larger Jewish population, Washington, D.C. Is this something that other ballparks are starting to consider, or it totally depends on their fan base?
Yeah, I think it's probably, again, in the fan base, but almost all parks now, I think all of them actually, the ones that I feature are ones that have sort of a separate kosher stand, but there's like I was thinking they have kosher. That's kosher style. I don't know. I know a lot of places, regular stands, they say kosher hot dogs, but I think they're probably not strictly kosher. But the stands that I listed are the main ones. I'm also a huge fan of Canisius, and I grew up in California, but I visited my aunt in the summer, and I always loved Canisius, and I think they're a real good thing to have at a ballpark. And are you familiar with Canisius?
Oh, I mean, absolutely.
Just being Becky. Yeah, and there's kind of two kinds. There's the gabala, kind of square fried ones, which every place that had Canisius except St. Louis had the fried one.
My favorite.
But St. Louis, through Khan's Deli, had their actual. They were also the only ones that had meat Canisius along with potato Canisius that they baked their own.
Now, obviously, one of the things that people have to take into consideration is how much this stuff costs.
Right.
Are there certain ballparks that are better values than others?
Yeah. I would say probably the Midwestern ones, St. Louis, Kansas City, Detroit, the prices seem to be a little bit lower. The AT&T, which is where I'm from, it's one of my favorites, so that probably was one of the most expensive. My wife spent $16.75 for a crab sandwich, a rather small crab sandwich. Yeah. And then also in Cincinnati, Marge Shaw, the former owner of the Reds, she had said that whenever, as long as she owned it, she wanted to have hot dogs a dollar. And they've kept that tradition. So you have to go, though, to the very far corner of the very top deck, and then they still have every night $1 hot dogs, but they're about two or three bites.
Make it work for it.
Right, yeah. So that's probably the best part. Although there's also one place was giving out every – I went there on a Sunday, and they gave out free ice cream to celebrate the pun, but ice cream Sunday. And then I got so.
What about one of the things that I especially enjoyed about the book was your sample of menus from ballparks over the years. How did you come across those?
I was doing the research at the Hall of Fame Library in Cooperstown. I got that there, and it was just fortunate that by coincidence, a couple months ago, they had got a project where someone wanted to get together old programs and see what the prices were. So I was able to get a selection, so I took different ones from the sort of different eras, when, you know, 10-cent hot dog. And what surprised me is even in as late as 74, which is the latest one I have in here, the hot dog was still only 50 cents. And so, whereas today, you know, your basics is $5 and you could go up to $13 or $14. And you know, there's actually one of the, I believe it was Minnesota, they had a Bloody Mary Bratwurst. That was one of the more interesting hot dog varieties. But it was just it's just a Bloody Mary, but then they put a sausage on it. Yeah, it's at the Twins. It's called a Bloody Mary Bratwurst.
And is that supposed to serve as a swizzle stick?
Yeah, I think it is. It's actually sort of the swivel stick's a skewer.
All right. Now, one of the nice things you're doing with this book is the proceeds are being used for a special project. Could you tell us what that is?
Right. Well, the Second Harvest Food Bank of Santa Clara and San Mateo counties, which is the largest food bank in the South Bay area. So all the proceeds from the sale of the book are being donated to them. And I am, again, being retired, in addition to working for the San Jose Giants, I volunteer for Second Harvest. And kind of one of the things when I started the idea of this book, I had, you know, been real interested in kind of the history of ballpark food. And then I would, sometimes in the morning, I would volunteer at Second Harvest and then work where they're serving all this real fancy food. So I thought this might be sort of a way to tie the together. So sort of celebrate the joy of ballpark food, but then helping those in need of food.
And do you have a website where people can go and find out more information?
Yes, I do. It's www.ballparkfood.org.
And we have been talking with Bennett Jacobstein, author of The Joy of Ballpark Food, From Hot Dogs to Haute Cuisine. Bennett, thanks very much for talking with us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
And that was the Bookshelf Conversation with Bennett Jacobstein, author of the fun new book on ballpark food and a worthy cause besides. That wraps up another episode of the Bookshelf Conversation. Tune in again next week when we'll have another fun guest, as yet to be determined. And don't forget to visit Ron Kaplan's Baseball Bookshelf for the latest news on baseball books. This is the time of year when we're having a lot of great news, so we're looking forward to seeing what the new year will bring. Thanks, everybody. See you next time.
But the extras don't carry his name. If old man Columbus had sat in the stands, had seen Matty pitching that fader so grand, he'd have said, boys, I'm glad I discovered this land. Gee, it's a wonder.